beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't bond heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and trade. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. Stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. What a powerful name it is. Thank you. Your sister Anna. She's
on that resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise,
we'll have a changed body.
Praise the Lord, we'll have a new life.
With the saints and you shall gather over on the other side,
we'll have a changed body.
Praise the Lord, we'll have a new life.
Filled with sin, Jesus came like a stranger in the night.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in light.
Now I'm so happy,
no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the
changed body.
Praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. Have a new life.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sarah. You did so good. Praise God. I know, Sister Anna, I really love those believer songs. That was one of those believers medleys. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Brother Aaron, can you help us with our offering, please? Praise God. As he passes that, let's just sing that song. 427, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Key of F. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Praise God.
There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, oh, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Once again, this is the day, oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it, for this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, for this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Glad day was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. The sins I used to do, the sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. Was a glad day when I was born again. Glad day, oh, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Once again, a river of life. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, and make me old. Spring up, oh well, and give to me a life abundantly. As Brother White comes, let's sing it again. Oh well, within my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me old.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. There's a river of life. And I got my sermon for Wednesday night. I sat right there in that seat. I said, if Louise sings that song, River of Life, I said, I'll have a sermon for Wednesday night.
We didn't talk either.
We didn't talk about it. No, I know we didn't. But I said, if he sings that song, I know what to preach Wednesday night. So God's good. He's with us. Amen. He's good all the time. While they're being seated, good to have everybody here. Full house today. want to thank Brother and Sister Dale again and all the people that work for the Valentine's banquet. Brother John and Sister Alicia, I don't think they'll ever go back to the Philippines in February. They saw what they had been missing for all these years. Brother John said the food. I mean, he had that look in the food. Right? The food. It was the food. But we had a good time, and we had Brother Anthony and Sister Jill with us, and they just took the prize home with them. Come one time, took the prize home back with them. So, in some of the games that we were playing. So God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalms 138, verse 8. We will continue the thought on the revival. A couple more thoughts here on Wednesday night, and we should be finished. And then we will start something else. But next weekend, I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's. Jen and I both will be going over there, Brother Dutch's, for the weekend. And also remember that March the 7th will be our youth Bible study and regular Bible study. Youth Bible study starting at 3 o'clock. If you have any questions, is that link online? I mean, on our website, Bob? No. Okay. All right. Well, you're going to put it there? Okay, we'll talk about it later. Okay, but anyway, March the 7th, 3 o'clock, youth Bible study right here. Brother Luis is going to speak this one for us, and we should have a real good time, have some really good questions for the youth. And then also they will conduct the youth service on that Sunday. So just keep them in your prayers. Also remember that we're going to be in Oklahoma March the 20th through the 23rd. Me and June are going to go out there for a few days and be with Brother Claude and Sister Ginger, so keep us in your prayers. Also, like I said before, I'm reading my notes. The banquet was wonderful last night. We had a good time. We're now looking forward to the June, in the month of June. The men and young men and boys were going up to Helen. We've rented a big lodge there to hold 25 or so people. And it's right close to trout fishing and tubing and zip line and all those things. So we're going to have a good time there. That will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of Father's Day weekend. So remember that. And good to have Brother Jonathan and his girl with him. I missed you last week. Good to have them with us today. Smiling faces back there, just rows and rows of teeth. That's what I like. God. Jonathan grew up in this church, for those of you that don't know that. Raise your hand, Jonathan, Brother John there. He grew up in this church, so good to have him back and his little sweetheart with him. So let's turn to Psalms 138:8. Remember June. June's dad sold our red car, so the lady he sold it to wanted to drive it to work tonight at 7 o'clock. So June left and took off over there with it. And she just called in and said she was streaming and said the Marungas did a wonderful job. And I believe they did. Did a wonderful job. But as soon as we're finished here, I'm going to be flying over there too. So just keep us all in your prayers. And we're off tomorrow. Being President's Day, I get all them government holidays off. So I'm going to take them. And no mail for you tomorrow, so don't even look in your mailboxes. You're not going to get anything. But we're going to stay over there with June's dad for a few days, today and tomorrow, and then come back tomorrow evening. So keep him in your prayers, and keep me in your prayers, too. God bless you. Psalms 138:8. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this group of people that you've given, Lord, for us to stand in front of the possession of eternal life in the end time dwells in these individuals in this building. And Father, the ones that are not born again, may they be so thirsty at the end of this service, Father, that they'll want more than anything this eternal life that you've imparted to us. Lord, truly it is a river that flows. That river that we were thinking, Lord, this morning about the river that comes out from under the throne when this is all said and done. There's going to be a pure river run out from under the throne in that new city. We're going to be able to drink from that thing for eternity. And we're going to have, it's unrestricted. What a mighty God. Thank you for all things, Lord. Bless the sick. Be with the ones that are not here. Guide us on the highways as we take off, Lord, and go to June's dad for a couple of days. And we ask you to bless her as she's traveling. Be with the ones that are not here. Be with the ones that are sin sick, Father. Save their soul, Father, right down below me. This wall full of names, Lord, that touches every person in this building. There's a name that somebody can connect to, Father. We pray that you would extend salvation to them, Lord, and that they will accept it. We know you're going to extend it, but, Lord, we pray that they will accept it. Father, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses and be with us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Psalms 138, 8. Now, we're still talking about revival, and I had a little treat this morning. I'm doing triple duty today. I had to get up early this morning and speak at a men's breakfast for the United Methodist Church. So I survived. I lived through the whole thing. So did they. Dad's two brothers were there. So the Methodist preacher that he talks about all the time, he was there, and he said he didn't know I had it in me. I said, well, it ain't me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And I did speak about revival to them because I want them to ever the whole world to see that there needs to be an individual revival, not a worldwide revival, but an individual revival. So, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I like that. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. Let's read Psalms 85:1. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Now remember, this is David speaking. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You'll have to excuse me just a minute. I've got a slow leak. But take what? Take vitamin C. I believe zinc's okay, but zinc's kind of hard to chew on. Nobody got that. That's right. Hey, amen. Okay, all right. Slowly it's trickling back. Okay, huh? She said take zinc. I said that's kind of hard to swallow. Zinc is a metal. Okay, let's get to the quote number one. Goodness gracious. But take vitamin C, it's good for your body. It keeps you from having colds. Let's look at number one, recognizing your day in this message. Brother Anthony, we don't act this way all the time. A lot of times on Sundays, though, we do. Recognizing your day in this message, the prophet of God, this is the prayer that I have on my refrigerator, and I hope you put on yours. God, create in me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival, the revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. More consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you, more able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. Amen. That should be everybody's prayer. That God created me a revival. I was telling him this morning, I've told you before, but we have spent all of our life waiting on somebody else to start a revival. Well, if so-and-so will just, if this person will just, Brother Brown never said that. He said, create in me a revival. Let me be the revival. The Welch revival was the policeman on the corner when the man came up and said, where's the Welch revival? He said, you're looking at it. So let's stop looking for this some great preacher to come or some great person to raise up, because we see all the characteristics. For the ones of you that haven't been here, we're going to kind of go over it a little bit again. Look at number two, the resurrection of Lazarus. Brother Brown said, brother, I feel real good right now. What this church needs today is a good revival. Now, as I was telling them this morning, in the 1960s, going to the Baptist church, there would be a banner up, and it would usually be in June or July, because that's when most people would come to church. They wouldn't come when it's cold. So they'd have a revival beginning on Sunday. And the song leader would get up in the Baptist church. You know how they do this. You know, the song leaders in the Baptist church, they do this. And he would sing, "Revive us again." I can see it just like that. "Downey Bryant, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory." And you know, you were... That's enough, Fred. I'm doing this. But that's the way it would be in it. But though what it would be, though, it would fill the altars. And then like someone said they'd preach you a fiery sermon. And then they'd dangle your soul over hell like a weenie over a fire, you know. "We don't want you to go to eternal hell, so come to the altar." That's not what a revival is. Nothing in scripture or in definition says that a revival is saving of souls. That is not what it is. A revival is just stirring up of what you already know about. It's what stirring up what you already have. Now, though you cast the net, it will grab some people.
Right.
Zachary Black. It will grab some people and bring them in. But what did it do? It brought Brother Zach to a realization he didn't have what he thought he had. That okay? So then it brought him to a realization. Now he can start his own little revival and revive what has become inside of him. So we're not saying that it to not bring sinners in, that it won't, but it will. If you become so intoxicated with God, it's got to, like Brother Dale said, it's got to pull people in. But mainly a revival is, it's a stirring up of what you already have. As I told them this morning, real simple, the children of Israel under Joseph, they were fine. They weren't slaves. Joseph said, "Come into Egypt." So they come into Egypt. And after a length of time, though, what happens is, it's kind of like the old adage, Brother Anthony, if you want to boil a frog, the frog's got to be alive before you can boil it, because it releases poison, kind of like a lobster. So you take a, you take the frog. And you don't boil the water and throw the frog in. He'll jump straight out because it's hot. But put him in there about 90 degrees. When he's like in a pond and he's kind of warm, then you just keep turning the heat up, and it'll absolutely cook that poor old frog, and he'll never know he's dying. That's what Satan has done to us. He's put us in a lukewarm condition, and he has started the heat, and that's what he did with the children of Israel. Listen, the children of Israel were the children of God. So they didn't have to become the children of God. They were already the children of God. They just got caught in bondage and needed a revival. Listen, it wasn't Moses that brought the revival. The Bible tells you. The people began to cry out when they realized they weren't just visitors in Egypt anymore, that they were slaves. And that's the way we are. We must realize that we are the children of God, but we can get caught in a place that we're caught in slavery and don't even know it sometimes. But Satan keeps turning that heat up, but being a child of God, God will never let you die. Be a child of the devil, he'll just let you go ahead and cook. But a child of God, he'll make you realize, and what will happen is there will be a revival, not a resurrection. Big difference. Resurrection is somebody died and had to be brought back to life. That's at your new birth. But a revival is reviving the person that you already got inside of you, and where God can use you to do the works of God, not the works of the devil. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
So it's just a stirring up of what you already know about. So the children of Israel got into the place, they were tired, they were sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? So what happened then, the call that the people gave to God sent Zach and Anna. Hey, buddy back there? Good to have little Hudson with us today. Glad you brought your parents to church.
But the call came out from the people. It's got to come from the people. I'll read you a quote where Brother Brown said, preacher can't bring a revival. I can sit here and I can scream as loud as I want to, and it won't do any good unless you catch what's being said. And then you take it with you and do something about it. Right? So it's going to be done the way that God wants it done. It's the people cry out for a revival, and then God sent them a Moses.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Right. Same way with the whole world. The whole world was dying in sin and iniquity, and God took it and sent himself.
Right.
And then on the day of Pentecost, there become a revival. There was something that came up. Then I told you many times before, one of the greatest revivals in the 1800s was in Dwight Moody's time and the different ones. But then around the turn of the century, right before Brother Branham comes on the scene to spearhead the healing revival, what happened was, and I'm reading back in history, and you can read it yourself, it's real plain. In the 1900s, there was no cure for a lot of things. What was happening was there was the illness was outperforming any kind of medicine. And the people of God started crying out, God, we need healing. Man has come to a place to where they can't take these diseases. Now look at today. We have an advancement in medicine. Listen, folks, you really don't need faith today. You go to the doctor. Because there's one on every corner. There's a specialist for your hair. And the pimples on your finger and all the other. There's a specialist for your fingernails. You understand what I mean? That wasn't in the 19th or the 20th, right at the turn of the century. There was just little home remedies. Well, the people, the Christians started crying out to God and said, God, we need a revival. So God sent them a healing revival. Were thousands and hundreds of thousands. But not only did he send the revival, he sent William Marion Branham, a prophet that could literally look inside of you and tell you where it was at, what would happen when you got healed, that they didn't know nothing about. Oh, that thing's going to swell like a little puppy dog that gets hit on the side of the road. How simple is that? You're going to get sicker before you get better. Now, who told them that? The doctor's not going to tell them that. Doctor's going to say, let's cut the thing out. No, but the great physician was on the scene through a prophet in the end time. And he was, as I've always said, that Albert Einstein, one of the greatest minds in the world, was on the earth. But there was a spiritual Einstein called William Branham that he knew. He went up as an eagle and went up higher, and he could be able to see things that man could never see. Well, now see the advancement now. And the sickness has come almost close together. Because remember, Brother Branham said cancer would be as a toothache in the end time. So now, listen. Remember, Brother Branham preached a lot of sermons on do you fear cancer? Well, they feared that word a long time ago. Now it's not so much. Why? Because the advancement of man has went so far. So what are we saying? We're saying we don't need a healing revival. Oh, Lord, we love to get healed. I mean, We love to get healed, but there's no healing campaign going on. That's not promised anymore. This revival we're talking about now is a word revival. It's going back to the Word of God, which has healing in it, which has salvation in it, but you got to be able to stir up what you've already got. And then bring some of you to a realization that you don't have, but you want it. And you groan and cry, waiting for it. And God sends it, doesn't he? He promised he would, buddy. All right, let's go. Testimony on the sea. So we're not even looking for a one-man message anymore. This is the bride. This is the bride age. Brother Branham was the one to bring us the message, but as I was telling him downstairs in the Sunday school class, church age messengers only were in a certain small part of their church age.
Columba wasn't even in his church age. He died before the church age that he was accredited with began, according to the prophet. So who took the message? The people.
Right.
It's in the people. Sure, sure, we cried out for many things and God would send somebody. We cried, listen, the people in the Catholic Church cried out to God. God, why do we have to do penance? Why do we have to pray to dead saints? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? Sister Anna's been a Catholic, was a Catholic. She knows what she's talking about. They build all their life on that stuff. You know, walking through the cobblestone on your knees and all that stuff. No, the people cried out and said, God, this can't be it.
Right.
And God said, okay, I got a little guy named Martin Luther. He's in your system, but I'm fixing to bring him out. And he's going to preach you a message that's going to bring you out of that. Now, what more are we looking at today? We've had the message to bring us out and take us up. What are we doing here? We need to revive what's already here. Not a new message. Not a new doctrine. Not a new mystery. I thought you and I were the mystery. Number three, testimony on the sea. And then we began to find out miracles isn't taking place no more like they were. The sick go home sick. It isn't of God. It isn't because of God. You can't blame God for none of that. It's because of the lack of the revival among the preachers. Huh? It's the preacher's fault. Always. People. Lack of the revival among the people. There is no revival. They sit and listen, go home and say, well, I guess that was pretty good, uh-huh. See, there's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be there. He didn't call them non-Christians. But there's something not in there. I was telling them a story. This morning I went to the dentist. I think I told some of you this. I went to the dentist. And this little girl was there, you know, and she was getting ready to work on my teeth. And she was an assistant. She was talking to Dr. Amy, and she said, we went to this church the other Sunday, and we've been trying to find a church. We went to this church the other Sunday, and that guy preached 20 minutes. We're finding us another church. You know me. Mouthful of cotton, mouthful of Novocaine. I didn't care. I said, what? What you talking about? I did. I looked over. I said, do what? She said, 20 minutes he preached. Lord, it was like an eternity. I looked at her and I said, let me tell you something, lady. My righteous indignation got up a little bit. I think it was the drugs. I'm going to blame it on them anyway, Levi. But no, I looked at her and I said, lady, what are you going to church for? I did because somebody went. Oh, Hannah or somebody went after I did, and the lady was still kind of ill at me, but I really didn't care. Because I told her, I said, look, you want to go to church and hear about 15 minutes about a man that hung on a cross for 3 hours. Nails in both hands, nails in his feet. A crown of thorns on his head for 3 hours. And you can't sit 20 minutes and let somebody tell you about him. I told her, I said, you sit for an hour and watch Bachelorette or whatever they were talking about. And you'll just, I can't believe that girl's going out with four men. For 1 hour, they'll sit there and listen. And watch. But they won't sit 20 minutes. I said, sister, if our people took 20 minutes of our sermons, I said, they'd string us up. Well, some of you might not, but. I mean, what would your comment be if somebody just come up and preached you 20 minutes and then you went to the house? But that's all they do. That's the world. They don't have God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the word. That's why I'm talking about a word revival. It's got to come from the word of God. I was a little ill with her because my heavens, can you believe?
Somebody would literally, I'm not going back to that church. Hey, 20 minutes. Anyway, moving right along. Joel 2, verse 23. Let's go to that one. We've been to it before. We'll get to a certain spot, and then I'm going to wait till for Wednesday night and finish this up. Be glad and rejoice, ye children of Zion. Talking to you. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore, or I will revive unto you. Remember, that bride tree never died, but it got eat to the stump. But there was still life, thank God, in the roots. You can't kill God. There that tree was still, it looked like you couldn't see nothing. Look out there now. Middle of the dead of the wintertime, you look down on your lawn. Well, mine's green because it's fescue, but you look down and you say, there's nothing there. Don't worry. Give it a little, it's got plenty of moisture, so all it needs is some warmth. And then you'll see things start popping up. Why? The life is down in the ground. The life is in the earth. And I will restore or revive to you the years that what? The Baptists eat, the Pentecost eat. That's what Brother Brown said. All the different denominations, they ate that tree down because of their creeds and dogmas. But it's promised, I will restore that tree. You can't kill the tree of life. That's why it's called the tree of life. And I will restore to you the years. Now you say, what's that got to do with the Red Sea number 4? Broken cistern, Brother Bram says, I don't need no filter. It don't need no filter, no strain. He's talking about that bubbling water that comes up out of the ground. No pumping, no jerking, no nothing else. It's just there bubbling up. It don't have to depend on local rains to fill it up. Now look, rains are revivals. So he's going to send the former revival and the latter revival in the same month, which is right now. We've had the former rain, our former revival, which is the teaching revival of the Word of God through the prophet in the end time and through the fivefold ministry. And then God is getting ready to take them the second stage or the latter rain, and he's going to harvest what's been planted. Rains are revivals. That's that fountain of life where the carcass is. What's the carcass? The word. Where the word is, the eagles will gather. You don't have to pump up a revival. You don't have to pump up nothing. That's what I mean. We could sit here and we could have a real emotional service, and it would just be an emotional service. But what does it do for us? I don't mind. I like to sing songs and get pumped up. Sure. Keeps you from sleeping so much. I'm going to blame Sister Anna Marunga today for all this sleepiness. She fed us cake and ice cream during between services. So the carbs are hitting about 253, which is right now. If I fall asleep, we all in trouble. All right. Wake yourself. Number 5. Let's get through this. Getting in the spirit. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. Not whooping it up or something, but praying it down. Praying it down until there's a revival strikes your heart. Until all the logs of ecclesiasticism and all the logs of fanaticism. We're going to come back to this Wednesday night because we're going to talk about the river of life and we're going to talk about them logs clogging up the river. And all the logs of fanaticism and all the logs of systems and all the logs of unbelief flows out. And then the waters of God come falling down upon you. There you are. Third seal. Now, that's what's reading today, the revivals we're supposed to have. Now, remember, in 1963, he just came out of that healing revival that I was talking about. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
For those of you that are asleep, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, dokie. So what's he talking about? You'd think, man, this guy is going to talk about this great revival that he just came out of. Uh-uh. We have denominational revivals, which, listen, a denominational revival cannot be a word revival. They have no word to revive. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere, no, no. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to stir the bride yet, see? We're looking for it. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Awake thou that sleepeth. In this church. Look. I'm glad God sent us a prophet. He will. That's as much as God telling me that he's going to send it. He will send it. He promised it. So he's going to send us a word revival. Whether you part of it or not is up to you. Now let's go to number seven, broken cistern. 1965. But that's the way God does. He humiliates us in our educational system. Not as I'm trying to support ignorance. Don't pull your kids out of school. But I'm trying to tell you the difference. Education can never bring life. It takes the Spirit of God to bring life.
Right.
And that life must not come out of just the intellectual revival. Right. It's got to come out of the Bible, word revival, yeah. Right. And that word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when it falls today and quickens, you get the same result as you did in Acts 2. Exactly. It always has. It always will. Look, because it's the Spirit of God that conditions the atmosphere. That's what we were talking about last couple of Sundays ago, about dunamis power and exousia power. That it's got to create an atmosphere. There's got to be an atmosphere created so that God can come. Listen, he's not going to come into some of our atmospheres. Hello? Some of them I create, I really don't want him there. Because he'd be really ashamed of me. Susan? Susan said, me? Me? But God wants to help us though. If we'll let the Spirit help us condition the atmosphere, it'll always be where God can walk in and say, hey, I'm here. I'm here to help you. Amen. So that's what a revival's for, is to revive you, to tell you, hey, you can do this. If you'll do these things, get in the Spirit, not some kind of other Spirit, but the Spirit of God, and it will condition the atmosphere so that God can come in and what? Quicken the word.
Glory.
Number eight, Pergamene church age. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Pergamene church age. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. As when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord, when she did as the word said, the proper sign came.
Right.
Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not some of the spirits we hang on to.
Right. Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Amen? Holy Spirit. That's why they call it a Holy Spirit. There's really some unholy ones, but we don't want to deal with them. John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What is it? The Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth.
Right.
Listen, folks, this word revival has got to be the real, true Word of God.
Glory.
Amen. That's right. God has winked at so much of our ignorance.
Right.
Until you come to a place to where now you can't plead ignorance no more. Because
right.
The Word of God is what? Two-edged. Cutting, dividing the spirit and the soul, telling us where our problem really lies.
Right.
Listen, if you're born again today, your problem's not in your soul.
Right.
That's Almighty God.
Right.
The problem's in your spirit.
Right.
Your problem's not in your flesh. Your flesh just does what your spirit tells it to do.
Right.
Amen.
Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, or in other words, not see, but understand, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14:25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Why couldn't they bear them? They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't understand what he was saying. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Not part truth,
right.
All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. A revelation. He will show you things to come. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Right.
Power. Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power.
Right.
That word, we're going to read it in just a second, is dunamis.
Yes. Right.
It's dynamite power. It's power that is inside of you.
That's right.
It's creative power.
Yes. Amen.
But ye shall receive dunamis power after that the Holy Ghost. After. See, you can have exousia power, which is the permitted power, and work under anointed ones and all these different things. But you can't have dunamis power in your soul and be lost. That's God. That's the power of God. We'll read it in just a second. And you shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of Lula, Georgia. Make it personal. Amen. All right, let's go to the definition of that power is dunamis. And we went through this. We'll fly through it pretty quick. Dunamis means power, virtue. Now, what's the second? Faith, virtue.
Right.
Strength, power. Now, not this kind of power.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, the whole world thinks Samson looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
No. He was a little shrimpy kid.
Right.
That's why it wouldn't be a revelation or a mystery if this guy walks in and goes, I can pick that pillar up and I'll just take them walls down.
Right.
But what if some little guy looks like, Don Knotts? Most of you know who that is, Barney Fife. If he walked up and says, I'm going to pick them 2-ton walls up and I'm going to carry them on the hill, they're going to go, ha, really? And he just goes, that's why they were looking for his power.
Right.
Inherent. It means you inherited this power. You inherited this power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. If you're born again today, you have the nature of God. And it's not on you, it's inside of you. Which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Moral power and excellence of soul.
Right.
The greatest power that ever come about was when Jesus walked out and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He'd been dead for 3 days. Sometimes we look at power and it's okay to exercise a little bit. You kind of want to. But don't worry, buddy. When you get 60, it goes. It all falls because of gravity. You know, though, the Bible does tell you to exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. All right, let's go to Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Remember, Satan has no power. Satan's powerless. Unless God gives him power. And who gives him most of his power? Take your hand. Watch. Take your hand and do this. Point at your neighbor. And then go. This guy right here is the one who gives the devil the power. That's what I said. Everybody goes, now if that black could have the power, we'd be good. Well, I think he's got it now, so let's point somewhere else. For there is no power but of God. How can you deny there's only one creator? And if that creator can say, let there be, and stand and watch this whole universe, every star you look at tonight, one man made it by his spoken word, not out there with a shovel. He just said, let there be. What a mighty God we serve. I was looking at the Grand Canyon one day and I thought, man, there's no way man could fill this big hole up. That thing's 300 miles long and a mile deep. I said, but God could speak one word.
Right.
And he'd shut right up, or he'd bring enough dirt to fill it in an instant. That's the God we serve.
Right.
The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And we're going to get into this in just a second. That's what's happening in the world, is the people are resisting the power of God. And you and I, to a degree, do the same thing. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
So what is the power of God? The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis,
right,
or the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Luke 4 verse 32. And they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, for his word was with power.
Amen.
His word was with dunamis. His word, when he said something, it happened. Amen? That's why Brother Dale's talking about Adam. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, what he said came to pass. He had the mind of God. That's what we're heading to. That's what we're standing on the earth to do. Because remember, Jesus never walked out one day and said, Now, me and the Father, we've been arguing back there behind the tent. No. He said, whatever the Father says, that's what I do.
Right.
He and I are one. Yes. There's no argument between us.
Right.
But we are, hold on. Who argues with God? We do.
Right.
Yeah. We argue with God. What in the world are you doing? But his doctrine must have been, this is why that we're going to have to come to a word revival, because the word is where the power is. The word is where the dunamis is. The power to create. Listen, the power to get those people out of the grave. The power that Adam had that was void in the Old Testament. That Jesus come, as Brother Dale was talking about, Jesus came. He came on the earth. Then he leaves, and where does he send the power? Sends it back to the people. Drawing, pulling, drawing, pulling, drawing, pulling. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Excuse me. For the preaching, look, of the cross is to them that perish foolishly, but unto us which are saved, it is the dunamis of God. It is the power of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
To an inheritance. There's that inheritant power. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Glory.
Who are kept by the power,
right,
our dunamis of God, through what? Faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're here.
Yes.
This is it.
Amen.
Now that's the inherent power to an inheritance incorruptible. Anything God gives you is incorruptible. His word can't be corrupt. We corrupt His word. Man corrupts His word. We stop up the flus. God doesn't stop up the flus. As Brother Chris Long was talking about, there's no conflict between God and Satan. God's the creator. The conflict between God and Satan is the person standing between God and Satan, me and you. We are the conflict. But what Satan has said, well, I destroyed your word by them people right there. And God's over here on the other side said, yeah, I know that. But I'm going to bring it back right back through them.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I'm going to bring it back right back through the same people that you think you destroyed.
Right.
I'm going to bring it back. And I'm going to do it in your garden. Like brother Aaron said, God just slipped into Satan's Eden and just going to bring out a people just like would have been standing in the Garden of Eden had there not been a fall. But there had to be a fall. There had to be a Savior. There had to be a healer, a redeemer. There had to be somebody come on the earth. That's why it just makes so much sense that Adam could not come with an eternal body and a spirit along with a soul. If he did, he would have never failed. But in the condition he's in, he fell because God had attributes. We already know that. We've been in the message long enough. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be delivered in the last time. So now we're going to cover just for a few minutes what the prophet of God said. But let's turn to Revelation 6 verse 8 because we got to cover that other power, which is exousia. Now, dunamis power is an inherent power. That is the power of God. That is creative power. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed him. And power was given unto them. Power was given to them. Over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and hunger, death, and beast of the earth. If you look all in the book of Revelation, every time God's talking about the devil, he has to give him power. So let's see what that power says, though. Let's go to the next one. The Greek lexicon says that power, though, is exousia power, which is power of choice. Liberty of doing as one pleases. Leave or permissive. Remember, God has a perfect will and a what? A permissive will.
Right.
Physical and mental power, the ability or strength which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. That didn't say anything of being inherited. An exousia power is something that can come down upon you as God give the power to the four beasts to go out and conquer the world.
Right.
That's exousia power. Look at number 9. Let's see what Brother Brown said about this. Testimony of a True Witness, 1961. His word testifies. Wake up. His word testifies in the last days that there will come a falling away. Now, is that not happening? And there would come up a cold, formal, powerless church age. That's what we're living in. Folks, that's what we got to overcome. A church that had no power, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof from church turn away. He give the sign that there'd be times when a man was set in the temple of God, showing himself he was God. He'd come ruling the nations, how perfectly all these things, how God's word has been perfect. And remember, King Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing all through the kingdoms. Let's scroll down to the bottom, save time. God's word is a true witness. And God's word said in the last days there would come perilous times, men's hearts failing them for fear, perplexity of times and distress between the nations. And there'd come a falling away from the church. And look, men would rise up showing themselves big dignitaries and so forth. What? Big name preachers. All right? And would power away from the church. and have a form of godliness and deny the real power of God. Church joining. He spoke of the church getting in that condition. We are a witness. Everybody say that. We are a witness that the word of God is fulfilled. The church is in that. This was in 1965, 61. The church is in that. Every organization is in that same state right now. I'll challenge any man to show me any organization on fire for God. Oh, they think they got revival. Oh, no, they don't. Because this last revival has to be a pure word revival. You can't revive something that's dead. It needs a resurrection. I'll challenge any man to show me any organization on fire for God, filled with the Holy Ghost with signs following them. Rise and tell me one, any organization. There's no such a thing. It's not on the pages, that's right. They're all powerless and dead. Get it?
Right.
But he also prophesied, thank you, God, for sending a prophet that gets us out of all this.
Glory.
Yeah, clap your hands. Yeah. Thank God he sent us a prophet to get us out of this mess. But he also prophesied there'd be a real church in that day.
Glory.
A little flock. A remnant. He said there would be and there will be.
Amen.
That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
There will be a people who know their God, said the prophet. Will do exploit in the last day.
Amen.
Thank God. He said there'd be evening lights in the last day. The prophet said so. God's true witness said so. There'd be evening lights. What is an evening light? The same as the morning light. The prophet said there'll be a day when it wouldn't be night or day, a gloomy time outside, just enough light to see where to get around, how to get around. But in the evening time, it shall be light. What would it be coming back, going back to the early time? There'd be evening lights in the last day shining. All right, let's go to the bottom. Keep going. Look, he said there'd be a prophet rise in the last day. Malachi 4. Giving the signs of the days of Lot, so forth, also prophesying for the people to turn back to the faith of the first Pentecostal fathers. You know, I was telling the church downstairs, we're going through the book of Revelation. No other prophet, no other seven-star messenger, one of the seven, not any of them but the last one, was required to turn anybody back.
Right.
Luther didn't turn the people back to Columbus' message. No. Wesley didn't turn them back to Luther's or he'd be going backwards.
Right.
But in God, that wasn't backwards because you got to go back to where you fell from.
Right.
So he sent a prophet in the end time to take us all the way back to right here.
Right.
And then head up.
Right.
He said that, but it had to be because of what? What fell in those ages? It wasn't the people. It was the word that they had. Had no effect. It was powerless because man had said, it's novenas. It's water baptism, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's three gods. Pray to the St. Mary and St. Cecilia and St. Patrick and St. whoever. Turn back to the original. Turn back to the Bible. Get away from organization and denominations and go back to the first. Go back to the original Pentecost, to the original filling of the Holy Ghost, to the original dunamis power of God. The word testifies that that'll happen. And I'll tell you before, I told you before, I'll tell you again. Exousia power is okay, but it will not get you out of a grave. Dunamis power, the power of God, is the only power that's going to get you out of a grave or change your body. Brother Branham, 1962. All things. Watch this. Oh, you said that you're taking under the Old Testament, Brother Branham. All right. Let's go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3. The Holy Spirit warned us that in the last days that the church would get away from the sincerity and the faith. I don't think he's talking about denominations at this moment. I think he's talking about us.
Yeah. Right.
The sincerity and the faith. They'd have a form of godliness but would deny the power that went with the what? Right thing. Right thing. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Yes, sir. God hates a powerless religion.
Right.
I want everybody to read that with me. God hates a powerless religion. And any religion today that hasn't got Christ in it is powerless. But any religion that Christ is in under his own blood and it's got power in it, God hates a religion without power. He said, you say God hates a religion without power? Brother Branham, what in the world are you talking about? He said, your solemn feast is a stink. I guess he does hate it. He said, it makes me sick. Because remember, what is this age? It's lukewarm. He spews them out of his mouth. Makes him sick. And remember, he told this rich Laodicean church, because you're lukewarm, in other words, you make me sick, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And we've come to that age. God send us an Isaiah to chop the thing to pieces. I believe he did. Amen. Lay it out before the people. Cry out, spare not. You think he'd be accepted? Certainly not. But he'd cry just the same, solemnly feast their stink. God hates powerless religion. Right. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship. Not forms, but genuine, dunamis worship. Power to know that you've passed from death into life. God wants to perform his word by his power. How can he perform? And when the church denies his power, that's what we're going to talk about. We'll stop right here. That's what we're going to talk about Wednesday night. We'll pick it up. I may read one more. God wants to perform his word by power. And when the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? When the church explains it away. You say, oh, that's for the denominational people. No, that's the people in this message that can't get it right. When the church explains it away and says it's for some other day and something, how can God, who knows to fulfill his word and perform his word among the people? People! The people deny. Listen, Brother Dale can be 100% on the word, which I believe he is, and you all could die and go to hell.
Right.
Me included. You gotta take what is said. And live it. And the people deny that he does it, yet they go through all the rituals. Oh, my Lord. One more. Number 11. And we'll stop right here. Hadn't even been going an hour. God hates a powerless religion. This is another quote. Brother Branham really emphasized. You put in powerless and read. God hates powerless religion. Now remember though, that power is not power for me to walk up and say, oh, you're healed, you're not going to have any bills, everything's going to be paid for, you get a new Corvette. Sorry, no, you don't. Volkswagen. 1974. No air conditioning, no heat. Flat tires. Sorry, but I'm sorry. He looked at me like he was going to kill me when I said Corvette. Gee, sorry about that, sister. Bless your heart. If your daddy wasn't here, we'd get you a Corvette. But no, it's not. That's not the power. We think that the power's going to be, though, really. Is it one day we're going to be just, oh, has my mailman run? I don't have any bills in my mailbox. That's not it. Listen, you as a Christian don't survive because of that. You survive because of the power that's inside of you. You survive because of when you get up in the morning, doesn't matter if you got 25 bills you can't pay, God, you saved my soul. Amen. You've saved my soul. Now, really, though, being a Dave Ramseyite, you need to watch your be a good steward of your money. Right, Ryan? That's right, Brother Ryan. But God hates a powerless religion. But now, look, the powerless religion is a word, false word, is a false word. True word can't be powerless. Hello? True word cannot be powerless. It's full of power. But God hates a powerless religion. It's got to be power, certainly. It's a power to save a man from sin. It's a power that can do signs and wonders and miracles as Jesus promised. They zeroed in. I'm talking about you and I. They
zeroed in on the Word of God back there and believed it and hit the target. You zero the same way on thank God for a prophet. You zero the same way on the Word of God, it'll hit the target again. Not another target. Same target. It's got to, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God don't like a powerless religion. How many times I need to say, tell you that Brother Brown said that 100 times? God doesn't like a powerless religion. God does not want that. God wants to perform. Have you ever heard the statement? This is going to really flip you out. Listen, everybody listen. Listen, you got me? God's waiting on us. God does not want that powerless. God wants to perform. But who's he waiting on? Do it again. Point at your neighbor. Go like this. That's who God's waiting on. Don't point at her, Levi. God wants to show himself alive. Listen, people. We live way under our privileges. God wants to show himself alive. How can he do that? By the power of the spoken word. Our very hopes is in the resurrection. Is that right? Our hope of life is resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right. Everybody love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read this one and then we'll stop right here. Revelation of Jesus Christ, church age book. Now remember this. Christ in the true church. Now look, true church, not false church, true church. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and a discrediting of God. Look. The discrediting of God's word is the devil's business.
Exactly.
Listen, he's got enough sense to know he can't do away with God's word. That man's got a lot of power. But he tries to discredit the word. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people at Lula Church get the true revelation... Now, I didn't make them big. That's what the church age book makes that a big font. He knows that if the church gets the true revelation of the true church and what she is, not what she's going to be, what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Now, what's the framework? You see that? You see that? That's framework. And you're sitting in it. And there's two spirits sitting here today in the framework of this church. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, he's not talking about that church over yonder that believes Father, Son, Holy. No, he's talking about in here. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before, look at that word, he didn't say him. He said her.
Right.
He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Now watch. In the desert, Jesus didn't use any power except the spoken word.
Amen.
Spoken word is all he said.
Right.
If you be, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God.
Right.
If you do, you're not supposed to do that. Finally, the devil just said, I'll deal with you later. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan
hates revelation, but we love it. And with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will, thank God for a prophet, but we will prevail over them. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying, which is the book of Revelation, is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future age. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study. 20-minute sermons. And thinking to make this book real, it's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book or this word revival cannot be revealed to anyone but a special class of people.
Amen.
That's you! It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require. Now, when you take a study in school, there are things that are required. You can't jump around them. If they're required, you got to go through them.
Right.
It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require that the ability to hear from God. How are you going to hear from God? Through the Word.
Right.
It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. We'll stop right there. Wednesday night we'll speak on the river of life. Because the problem's not the river. Let's stand our feet and musicians come. The problem is not the river.
Right.
It's the logs that clog up the river.
Amen.
You can't stop the river of life. But you can plug it up a little bit.
Right.
That's what man's done. They've dammed the thing up.
Right.
And I mean not D-A-M it up. They've dammed it up. Really, they've damned the people. D-A-M-N-E-D. They've made. Look, those people are damned if they don't come to God. They have the river of life. It's not flowing in their life if they're not born again. And even if it's flowing in your life today, you still got logs of your own ideas or of your own this or of your something that you have, your temperance and your patience and your godliness has not come to the place, then what happened is that fluid or that part of that river has been clogged up.
Right.
We'll talk about that Wednesday night.
Glory.
Let's sing There's a River of Life first and then we'll sing yours. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Then we'll sing yours as soon as we... Let's just sing that again.
There's a river of life flowing out from me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well.
Told the church not too long ago, you know, Brother Anthony, for Brother Branham to walk up and just see a water bubbling up out of the ground, God foreordained that before the foundation of the world, that well would be right there. And there would be an ordained prophet walk right to that well
and then preach a sermon off of it. But what's the more mystery than that is he walks over and picks up a cigarette pack. Boy, don't touch that cigarette pack. But he preached one of the greatest sermons he ever preached. A thinking man's filter.
Right.
Amen? Amen.
Yes.
So there's a river of life. And he said, Lord, what is this thing bubbling up for? And that well said, I don't know. It's just something. It's just something down in here. It's something you can't see. But you watch and see what it produces. Because that water would just bubble up. And Brother Brown said it was the cleanest, purest water you ever seen on the face of the earth. Bring up, oh well, within my soul. Bring up, oh well, and make me whole. Bring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Let's sing what Brother Luis got.
Amen. I was just going to sing, we've got the power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Key of G.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages,
we will not and cannot be defeated.
Stop us, but the Church of Jesus,
are you a Church of Jesus Christ?
Is still alive.
Watch this.
Like a mighty army, we keep marching on. Tried to stop us, but the Church.
Listen, this whole message is to help us realize what we've already got.
You take it out that door.